Hi, I'm Corey. I was enjoying a quiet Saturday morning with my coffee and a book, the latest thriller everyone had been talking about, when my phone buzzed with a text from my brother Max. We'd always been close growing up, despite his tendency to make impulsive decisions. But what I saw on my screen that morning made me nearly choke on my coffee. "I'm quitting my job today. You'll cover my rent until I find something better, right? It's only $1,200 a month." I stared at the message, thinking it must be a joke. Max had a decent job at a marketing firm. He'd been there for 3 years and had even received a promotion last year. Sure, he complained about his boss sometimes, but who didn't? "Are you serious? Why are you quitting?" I texted back. The reply came immediately. "Can't stand working there anymore. My boss is impossible and I deserve better. So you'll help out, right? Just for a few months." "Max, I can't just cover your rent. I have my own bills to pay. Do you have another job lined up?" I asked. "Not yet, but something will come up. Come on, Corey, you make good money at that tech company. That's what family does. Remember when I lent you $200 for your car repair in college?" I rolled my eyes at the comparison. "That's not how this works. You need to have a plan before quitting. And that $200 was 7 years ago, which I paid back, by the way." "Whatever. I thought I could count on you. I've already told them I'm leaving. Don't want to work another day in that toxic environment." I called him immediately. When he picked up, I could hear the sounds of a coffee shop in the background. "Max, this is crazy. You can't just quit without a backup plan and expect me to pay your bills," I said. "Why not?" he shot back. "You're always talking about how well your career is going. Meanwhile, I've been miserable for months. My boss takes credit for all my ideas, and the workload is crushing me. Understanding doesn't mean bankrolling poor decisions. Have you even started looking for other jobs?" "I will, once I've had a break. I'm burned out, Corey. I need at least a month to decompress before I can even think about interviewing. So take some vacation days. Talk to HR about your concerns. There are steps between I hate my job and I quit with no backup plan," I insisted. My roommate Jen walked into the kitchen and raised an eyebrow at my animated conversation. "Look," Max continued, his voice rising. "I didn't call to get a lecture. I've made up my mind. So are you going to help me or not? It's a simple yes or no question." "No, Max, I'm not paying your rent. You need to be responsible for your own choices." "Wow, real nice, sis." His voice dripped with sarcasm. "I guess all that talk about being there for each other was just talk. Must be nice up there on your high horse. Being there for you doesn't mean enabling bad decisions. I love you, but you need to figure this out yourself. I'm happy to help you job search or review your resume, but I'm not paying your bills."
"Fine, I don't need your help anyway," Max shouted before hanging up.
Jen sat down across from me, sliding a fresh cup of coffee my way. Family drama? My brother just decided to quit his job with no backup plan and expected me to cover his rent, I explained, gratefully taking a sip.
"Seriously? And he just assumed you'd say yes? That's some next-level entitlement."
My phone buzzed with another text from Max. "Thanks for nothing. Some sister you are. When I'm homeless, I hope you feel good about yourself." Jen glanced at the message.
"Wow, he's really trying to guilt trip you. Classic manipulation tactic."
"Yeah," I sighed. "And the worst part is, I'm starting to wonder if maybe I should help him. We've always been close, and I hate the thought of him struggling."
"Absolutely not," Jen said firmly, putting down her coffee. "If you cover his rent once, you'll be covering it indefinitely. I've seen this play out with my own siblings. You'll be setting a dangerous precedent."
As if on cue, my phone rang. It was our mutual friend Taylor.
"Hey, Corey. Just got a strange call from Max. He said you refused to help him in a crisis. What's going on?"
I spent the next half hour explaining the situation to Taylor, who listened with increasing disbelief.
"So he just expected you to pay his rent? No questions asked?" Taylor asked, sounding as baffled as I felt.
"Exactly. And now he's calling our friends to paint me as the villain," I replied, pacing around my apartment.
"Look, I love Max. You know I do, but this is next level entitlement," Taylor said.
"Has he always been like this with money?"
"He's always been impulsive, but this is different. Last year, he bought a new car on impulse, way out of his budget. 6 months ago, it was an expensive gaming setup. But he's never expected me to finance his lifestyle before. My phone buzzed with another text, this time from our older sister, Ava. Max just called me crying. What did you say to him? He says you told him to become homeless? I called her immediately, putting her on speaker so Taylor could hear. Ava, what exactly did Max tell you? I asked, trying to keep my frustration in check. He said you refused to help him when he's going through a mental health crisis at work, that you told him his problems weren't real and that he should just suck it up. Did he mention the part where his idea of help was me paying his $1,200 rent indefinitely while he takes a break from working? I countered. Or the fact that he's already quit without having another job lined up? There was a pause on the line. Well, no, he didn't exactly frame it that way. Taylor chimed in. Hi, Ava, I'm with Corey. Max called me too, but he didn't give me the full story either. He's spinning this to make Corey look bad. After I recounted the actual conversation with Max, Ava sighed heavily. That doesn't sound like the mental health crisis he described. He told me he was having panic attacks at work and you dismissed them. That's not what he told me at all, I replied. If he'd said that, I would have suggested therapy, not quitting without a plan. He never mentioned panic attacks or any specific mental health issues, just that he hated his boss and deserved better. I'm going to call him back, Ava decided. This doesn't add up. He's always been dramatic, but this seems extreme even for him. After we hung up, Taylor looked at me thoughtfully. Have you spoken to your parents about this? Not yet. They're on a cruise with limited connectivity. Dad would tell him to man up, and Mom would probably offer to pay his rent herself, which would just reinforce this behavior. You should check in with some of Max's friends. This behavior seems extreme, even for him. Maybe something else is going on that you don't know about. I nodded and called Damon, one of Max's closest friends. To my surprise, Damon didn't seem shocked. Yeah, he's been talking about quitting for weeks, Damon said. But the rent thing? That's new? Has he mentioned any financial problems to you? Damon hesitated. He's been spending a lot lately. New car, expensive trips to Vegas and Miami, always picking up the tab at dinner. I assumed he was doing well, but maybe not. That's odd. His job pays okay, but not lavish lifestyle okay. Has he talked about any new friends or business opportunities? Actually, yes. Some guy named Ryan he met at a networking event keeps talking about how successful this guy is and how he's sharing investment tips. They've been hanging out a lot over the past couple months. Max is convinced this guy has some secret formula for success. Did Max ever introduce you to this Ryan person? I asked, a knot forming in my stomach. Once, briefly. Slick guy, expensive watch, talked a big game. Kept showing Max something on his phone that had Max all excited. Something about investment returns. As we talked, another call came in from Ava. Corey? I just talked to Max again, she said, her voice tense. He admitted he wasn't having panic attacks, but he mentioned owing money to someone. He was pretty vague about it, but seemed scared. I thanked Ava and switched back to Damon. Have you noticed Max gambling or anything like that? Not gambling exactly, but he's been talking about some investment opportunity. Something that would make him rich quick. Cryptocurrency or NFTs or something. I didn't pay much attention. Figured it was just talk. A sinking feeling settled in my stomach. I need to talk to him in person. I drove to Max's apartment that afternoon, with Taylor coming along. When Max opened the door, his expression shifted quickly from surprise to defiance. Come to lecture me in person? He asked, but stepped aside. His apartment was in complete disarray, with empty takeout containers, scattered papers, and unopened mail everywhere. A half-packed suitcase lay open on the couch. Are you going somewhere? I asked, gesturing to the suitcase. Maybe. Ryan mentioned a potential opportunity in Miami. Said I could crash with him while we set up a new investment venture. Taylor and I exchanged alarmed looks. Max, what's really going on? I asked. Ava mentioned you owe someone money. He glared at me. She shouldn't have told you that. It's none of your business. Is that why you suddenly need Corey to pay your rent? Taylor asked. Are you in trouble? Max paced the small living room, running his hands through his hair. It's not what you think. It's an investment opportunity. I just need some capital. Once I get more money in, the returns will be huge, life-changing. What kind of investment? I pressed, noticing the stack of credit card statements on his desk. Cryptocurrency. This guy I met, Ryan, he's shown me proof of how much he's made. He's got a system. It's foolproof. And you need money for rent because... Max's shoulders slumped. Because I already put most of my savings into it. But Ryan says if I can put in another $10,000, I'll triple my money in 2 months. It's a limited time opportunity, Corey. The window is closing. Max, that sounds like a scam, Taylor said gently. The limited time opportunity is a classic high-pressure tactic. It's not, Max snapped, his face flushing. You think I'm stupid? Ryan has shown me everything. I've seen the platform, the trades happening in real time. This is cutting-edge technology. You're just too risk-averse to understand. How much have you invested so far? I asked, dreading the answer. About 15,000. Where did you get that kind of money? Your savings wasn't anywhere near that amount last time we talked. Savings, credit cards, a small loan. I liquidated my 401k. It'll be worth it when the returns come in. A loan from whom? I demanded, alarm bells ringing in my head. Ryan introduced me to some guys who lend money specifically for these investments. They understand the opportunity, unlike you. Show me the platform, I challenged. Show us exactly where your money is and these returns you're talking about. Max grabbed his laptop and pulled up a professional-looking website with graphs and trading charts. But as he tried to log in, the site returned an error message. That's weird. It was working this morning, he muttered, refreshing the page repeatedly. Try texting your friend Ryan, I suggested. We watched as the message failed to deliver. His phone must be off or something, Max said defensively. He mentioned traveling today to set up our Miami venture. Max, I said carefully, when was the last time you withdrew any money from this investment? Well, I haven't yet. Ryan says it's best to let it grow. The compounding is where the real money is made. Let me guess, Taylor said. You've met other investors, all just starting out, all excited about future returns, none having actually cashed out. You don't understand, Max's voice rose. This is cutting-edge technology. Max, I think you've been scammed, I said gently.
And now you're trying to drag me into it.
These lenders, I pressed. How much do you owe them? Max's face paled. 8,000. But once my next investment matures... Max, Taylor interrupted. There is no investment. Your money is gone, and you owe $8,000 to what sound like loan sharks. You're wrong, Max shouted, throwing his phone across the room. Get out! Get out! After our confrontation, Max discovered I was right when Ryan disappeared, and threatening messages about loan repayment started arriving. At the police station, Detective Rivera explained this was a sophisticated scam targeting young professionals. I'll help you with 1 month's rent, I told Max afterward. Just one. But with conditions, meet with a financial advisor, start applying for jobs immediately, attend a support group for scam victims, and apologize to everyone you dragged into this. That seems fair, Max said quietly. Thank you. Most importantly, this doesn't mean I'll be your financial safety net going forward. I love you, but I won't enable behaviors that harm you. 2 weeks later, Max had found a new job and was working with the financial advisor on a repayment plan. The support group has been eye-opening, he told me. Some people lost much more than I did. And Corey, thank you for not enabling me. If you had paid my rent, I probably would have just dug myself deeper. The following weekend, I met Ava and Taylor for coffee. Max joined us later, looking more put together than he had in weeks. He seems genuinely remorseful, Ava noted. Nothing like losing $15,000 to teach some life lessons, Taylor said. I've learned my own lesson about boundaries, I added. I can support him without enabling him. When Max arrived, he apologized again for his behavior. I've been thinking about why I reacted so strongly when you refused to pay my rent, he said. It wasn't just about the money. It was about facing the consequences of my choices,
something I've never been good at. I reached across the table and squeezed his hand. Well, you're facing them now. Thanks to you setting that boundary, he acknowledged. If you had given in, I'd probably be even deeper in this mess. I realized something important. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do for someone isn't giving them what they want, but what they need. Even when what they need is to hear no. Have you ever had to set a difficult boundary with someone you care about? What did you learn from the experience?